In Isaiah 55, as often many of you wonder, Ali, what's going on with your family? You got saved out of Islam, it was 14 years ago. What's the latest with your parents? Well, today I'll be sharing some of what's been happening in my family by way of encouragement, by way of report to you who have consistently prayed for my family. But we'd be remiss at Family Bible Hour to not use the word and make it our primary focus. So everything I share as a story will only be an illustration of God's word today, an application, if you will. In Isaiah 55, God begins to give the gospel. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. So in verses 1 through 5, the Lord gives a gospel there, and then he gives a warning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. A warning that time is short. It says, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, what's next is the focus for today's message. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now the Lord has given here a clear gospel. He's given in verses 1 through 5. He gives also in verses 6 a warning that time is short. And then he says, my ways aren't your ways. Now perhaps part of this is a reminder to man who is trying to save himself through works that God's method of saving is not our method of saving. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? Now, if anybody out there tells you, I believe you have to be a good person, you can remind that person that they believe God is prejudiced. Because how can a person who's mentally disabled, emotionally scarred and disabled, and has mental and physical disabilities, how could they go out there and do the same things and be the same good person as one who doesn't have these impediments and these handicaps? So the gospel cannot be based on that. It has to be simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Anybody can do that regardless of their handicaps. And we know it's by the word, believing God's word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Here the Lord has told us his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And now he turns it to the word that is mighty to save, that's able to complete this transaction of the gospel which he preaches. Verse 10, Isaiah 55, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. We'll stop there on verse 11. And we know the purpose of the word is primarily to save. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth in repentance in Jesus Christ. So we know God is looking for his word to save. He's sending it out for them. We know those who reject it, the word will come back to haunt them. As Jesus taught, I believe in the Gospel of John, that he who doesn't receive me, he who rejects my teachings, he was saying, it is the words that I have spoken to him that will condemn him. Right? And so If you reject that word, it's going to condemn you. But if you believe that word, it's going to save you. And it's not the works, it's the word of God. It's the finished work of God. It's not the works of man, but the work of God in His word. And His word, and we know, became flesh and died for us on the cross, Jesus Christ. So there's a probably the primary application there. But a secondary, you might, is the fact that God's word, and we could say this is primary too, that it's going to fulfill its purpose. We know the primary purpose is salvation. And we can sometimes behold how that's working in a testimony. And I'm going to give now an update on my family and how God is actually working and bringing this scripture to pass in my household, just as He has in yours. And we can glorify Him for that. Now, I got saved, and I remember my parents were very upset that I had gotten saved. I had left Islam. I was the only son in the family. I had tremendous responsibility to carry on Islam and the ways of man, right? God says, my ways are not your ways. Our ways in Islam are works and good deeds. Well, I forsook that, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, got saved, and then ever since, I've been trying to convince my family, this is the way. This is the truth. This is the life, right? Well, here's what God is doing is an answer to your prayers, because my family just won't listen to me, right? I'm the youngest one, by the way, in the family. I have a twin sister, but she's 7 minutes older, so everybody acts like it's 7 years, so nobody listens to me. So here's what the Lord's been doing through your prayers. He's been bringing His word into the family that does not turn back to Him void. Here's what the Lord's been doing. I went home one day, this was years ago, long before my wife came from Russia for me to marry her. I went home one day to visit my parents after becoming a Christian, after they knew I was a Christian. And I remember it was always a little bit hostile in that they loved me as a son, but they hated the Jesus. They hated the Christianity I'd taken hold of. They do profess Jesus as a prophet, not as the Messiah, not as the Son of God. That's only strictly the Muslim standpoint. I went home, and I know that they don't appreciate the gospel I preach and that we believe. And I remember finding gospel tracts in my bedroom, thinking, what in the world is going on? Are my parents trying to evangelize me? Right. And so one of them was a booklet. In fact, there were two plastic baggies, and each of them was a Jesus film DVD and a little Gospel of John booklet in Farsi Persian. Pretty serious, right? So I was like, wow, look at this. You know, it's a whole Gospel of John booklet. It's tiny. It's about this size. This is a little cup holder or, I forget what these are called. Somebody help me out. Coaster, this coaster I'm holding up, so about this size, a little smaller, very tiny. And here's what happened is I thought, why are there two of these in my bedroom? My mom debates with me about Christianity. Why are there Gospel of John booklets in Farsi in my bedroom? So I went to my mother, and I kind of nonchalantly wanted to ask the question. So I was like, hey, Mom, what are these? Yeah. And she said, oh, honey, we were at the park here in Maryland. My parents live in Maryland. So we were at the park here. We were celebrating the Iranian New Year. Now, the Iranian New Year predates Islam. It's on the pagan calendar. It draws its roots from an ancient pagan religion we would call Zoroastrianism. This has continued to keep a foothold even in the Muslim lives of Iranians. Somehow, this pagan religion is still there. And we who teach how to evangelize Muslims, we say, how can the Muslims hold on to Islam and a pagan tradition from past? And we call this folk Islam. And I think as far as the devil's concerned, practice whatever you want. Mix it all together if you want. Make yourself a mishmash of a religion. Just don't go to Jesus. That's the devil's standpoint. So my parents go to the New Year celebrations, even though it's a pagan thing. It's not on the Islamic calendar. They go to these celebrations and Iranians are there. And she said, sweetie, we were at the Iranian New Year celebration at the park. And then these two ladies came. They were dressed more conservatively than us. In fact, they were covered with a black sheet. They dressed as though they were Muslims in Iran. And most of us don't dress like that here. And they came here to the park and they passed these out to us. They were infiltrators. Right? I'm saying that. My mother didn't say that. But these are our sisters. She said two ladies had done this. They came dressed in a hijab, you might call it, or a burqa, and they passed out these baggies to us. And our family got two of them. I came home, I looked at it, and I realized, you know, it's about Jesus. Well, you know, my son likes him. I'll put it in his bedroom. And so she did. So, yes, I do like Jesus. I love him because he first loved me, right? And so she said, so it's in your bedroom, sweetie. And I said, oh, okay, thanks, Mom. And I went to my bedroom. I was encouraged because God was working. He was sending fishermen and fisherwomen into the midst of where the fish are, even at the park during the pagan New Year celebration. The fisherwomen had come and they had sown the seed, right? Sowing the seed of the Word of God. And primarily we know the sower is the Son of Man from the parables. The seed is the Word of God from one parable. The sower is the Son of Man. And God says that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And he says, and make it bring forth and bud in that verse 10. So here was the Gospel of John, two of them. And I was discouraged as a young Christian thinking, boy, it's like it missed. You know, it's like the shot was fired and the bullet missed its mark. It was supposed to hit my mom and it hit me. You know, these tracks are in my bedroom. Well, oh me of little faith. Here's what God would do. At least a year, maybe two passes. Okay, my grandmother comes to visit from Iran. And I realize, you know what, my grandmother reads Farsi Persian. I should give one of these to her. I've kept them in my bedroom on the dresser or on the table the whole time. My mom won't take it, right? And so I should give one of these to my grandma and she'll take it back to Iran with her and read it. And so I come to my grandmother and I say, Grandma, I have a gift for you. Yeah, I'm her favorite grandchild, by the way, right? So she got excited, right? And so she said, what is it? And I said, well, it's the best thing I could ever give anybody. And here it is. It's this. I want to give it to you. And she goes, oh, sweetie, I love it. I'll read it every day. And I was like, Grandma, you really should. She goes, I will. I will. I said, now, Grandma, let's talk about you taking that to Iran. Because you need to fly in. And the Revolutionary Guard, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, those men with AK-47s are not going to be happy when they see that book. And they search the luggage. Iranians all know this. They search everything you have. And part of the reason is not necessarily looking for Bible materials, but they want to find anything of value you're bringing into Iran, which is now one of the poorest nations in the world. That's what Islam has done to Iran. Went from the height of being in Bible prophecy with Daniel and Nehemiah and Ezra, went to that height of splendor to one of the poorest nations of the world. That's what a false gospel will do. Right? Happy is a nation whose God is the Lord. And they've gone to that level of poverty. So the Revolutionary Guard will pretty much shake you down for anything you bring into the country, going through your suitcase to tax you on all of it because they want money. And so you can bring one laptop, you can bring one this, and you can bring zero Bibles, right? Because it's a closed country. So I'm telling Grandma, well, Grandma, you know how they search you and everything. You got to hide this on your person, like in your clothing, deep down next to your person. And she goes, no. I said, Grandma, you'll get in trouble for this book. This book is illegal in Iran. Grandma, they'll throw you in prison. And she basically had this attitude and told me something that the best way to communicate it to you in English is something like this. Those boys at the border wouldn't dream of telling me what to do. That's the best way I could communicate it to you. Something to that effect, right? And I'm realizing that Grandma's age, which in the Middle East means you walk on water and you can do no harm, is hurting her here because I'm having trouble getting her to realize it doesn't matter how old you are, you're going to get in trouble for this book. And she says, no, 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 they're not going to tell me anything. They never tell me anything. They're not going to tell me anything. And I couldn't get her to listen to me, so I said, okay, Lord, she's not listening. She's going with the book and not even being careful about it. So Grandma flies to Iran. I call Grandma. She picks up the phone at her apartment. I say, Grandma, how are you? She says, good. Now, I know the Islamic Revolutionary Guard is listening on these phone lines. So I say, well, Grandma, how did it go? She goes, what? How was your trip? Good. So you didn't have any trouble? No. So you have that thing? That thing? You think I'm a drug dealer. Right? You got the money. I got the stuff. You know, you think I was a drug dealer. Grandma, you have that thing? She's like, yeah, I got it with me. So they didn't give you any trouble? She's like, no, I told you nobody's going to give me any trouble. Brethren, this is how we need to sneak Bibles into these closed countries. Nobody tells the older saints in the East and the Middle East. I'm sorry, not saints. She wasn't a saint. But nobody tells the older people what to do. So Grandma has this Gospel of John. I said, Grandma, you got to read that. She says, I'm reading it every day. I said, Grandma, let's talk about it. She goes, oh, we can't do that. That gives me hope that maybe she was reading it. Yeah. Grandma has since passed away. And our hope is that she was reading it and perhaps believed it. So here's the story is, that Gospel of John is in Iran, okay? Now, 3 years pass, okay? And my wife and I are at this point married, and somebody gifts us a Persian Bible, a full Persian Bible. We come and we decide to wrap it as a Christmas gift and gift it to my mom. Except I gave it to her as an early Christmas gift, and both for not waiting for the Christmas occasion, lest she perish, and also that there might not be an awkward moment on Christmas Day, right? I gifted to her separately, like here, they're all Muslim or majority Muslim, and here's a Bible being given as a gift. So I gave mom this gift. She opens the gift, and it was a big Bible just like this one, a full Bible in Persian, not just the Gospel of John, like that little booklet. My wife and I gift it to her. She opens the wrapping paper. She looks at it and she goes, oh, I don't know if I can accept this. And I said, Mom, why not? And she goes, and I thought she was going to say, because I'm a Muslim and I won't accept the Bible. No. She goes, because this is God's word. And I have tremendous respect for God's word. And if I'm not going to read it, I shouldn't accept it. And I don't know if I'm going to read it simply because I don't know if I will like the translation. Mom, the theologian. What is she, Persian King James only now? Right? When I'm thinking, this is bizarre. What in the world is going on? And here's what happens is my wife, being the wonderful helper she is, goes into my, and anytime someone gives my mom something religious, she'll put it in my room, right? Or she'll put it into my book stack. My wife goes through my book stack, pulls out a Bible there, says, did you put this in here? I said, no, I don't recognize that Bible. She goes, this is a Jehovah's Witness Bible. How did this get into your book stack at home? I said, I don't know. I was never a Jehovah's Witness. And my wife pieced the story together. Jehovah's Witnesses had come knocking on the door to my parents' house. And my mom told me this story, but I didn't make the connection. She said, someone came and knocked and said, what language do you speak? When she saw I struggled with English, I said, I speak Persian Farsi. She came back one day with another book. And so my wife pieced it together that my mother had started reading the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, which primarily has this chief sin, this cardinal sin of leaving out Christ as Lord. The primary ingredient of the gospel is left out of that Bible, right? My mom had started reading it, but the Holy Spirit was working because this was not God's word, and it was turning back void, such that my mom, seeing an authentic Bible given to her by us as a gift, was saying, I don't know if I'll like the translation, because she thought the problem with the Jehovah's Witness Bible was the translation. This is what was happening. My wife pieced together this mystery. You know, at this point, thank God for our wives, right? So here's what's happening is a word has been shared that's not God's word. It's not the true seed, and it's turning back void. And it's causing confusion now as we're sharing the true seed. My mom's like, I don't know if I'll like this translation. So I didn't know what was going on in that moment. We only figured it out later. She goes, put it there next to the TV on the TV stand. And I will look at it later, see if I like the translation. And if not, I will let you know. So I just put it there, walked out of there and thought, that was bizarre. What in the world is going on? Later on, we pieced the story together. Well, the good news is Mom never returned that Bible to me. She does love to put it in my bedroom. But she never gave it back and said, I don't want this gift, which is what she was saying she would do. She stores it in my bedroom, perhaps because she doesn't want anyone to know. She owns a Bible now, right? So here's the story. That's part of the story. So now we see the Lord has gotten another Bible to her, right? And this Gospel of John that's with Grandma in Iran is seemingly forgotten at this point, except that God's word will not turn back void. And here's what God would do in this story. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Mom, before Grandma dies, 2 years pass after this Bible gift that we give her, and she goes to Iran to visit Grandma. She comes back from Iran. And one day, my wife and I are visiting my parents in Maryland, and I'm in the kitchen quickly wolfing some food down before we hit the road on a ministry trip, and I notice that it's just my mom in the kitchen and me, and I notice she's walking back and forth, pacing nervously, thinking of what she's going to say. And I'm thinking, I don't know what mom's going to say. She's probably going to turn around and say, I don't think you should leave yet. You haven't eaten enough food before you get on the road. Something moms would say, right? Well, she turns around and she goes like this. She goes, what does this mean to you, Ali? Injile Yohanna, which means in Persian, the Gospel of John. Whoa. I thought, where is this coming from? I thought, and I said, well, Mama, what does that mean to me? That means good things. In fact, that Injil means gospel. There's four Injils. And I know the New Testament is called Injil too, but the Gospels are also called Injil. There's four of those books. That one's my favorite, Mom. I didn't tell her, Mom, that's the book that I got saved in. That in Romans, right? I said, Mom, that's a good book. She's like this in the kitchen. As she was pacing, she stopped. What does this mean to you, Injili Yohanna? And I told her what it means, and she goes, when I was visiting your grandmother, I went looking through her cabinets for a Quran. Now, Persians will often hide a small Quran in a cabinet. It's very common. She said, I went through looking through your grandma's cabinets for a Quran, and I found a little book that looked like a Quran, and I took it out, but it says, Injili Yohanna. I have brought it back with me to America. I shall purpose to read it. What did I say? Nothing. Right? Don't scare her. Don't scare the fish. It's about to bite the bait. Right? Shh. Fisherman, quiet. And the Lord has been teaching me when to be quiet in my family. And so I said nothing. Now, Mom has the Gospel of John, and we're praying, Lord, we pray she read it. Is she really going to read it? And how did she bring this back? And so here's the story is, 2 days later, we were wondering, is she reading this? 2 days later, my mom is visiting my sister, who was in a hospital for a very minor procedure. My sister is laying in the hospital bed, smiling for a picture that my brother-in-law, her husband, is taking. And my mom is visiting, so she's next to my sister in the hospital, but not on the hospital bed. My mom's just visiting. She's sitting on a chair next to the hospital bed. My brother-in-law, my sister's husband, takes a picture of my sister in the hospital bed, my mom on a chair next to her, sends us the picture. My lovely helper here, my wife, says, wait a minute, zoom into that photo as we're looking at it. She says, zoom into that. I zoom in. She zooms in on my mom. My wife zooms in on my mom in the photograph, and my mom is sitting in that chair with a look of fierce concentration, not at the camera, but at the Gospel of John in her hand, holding it up like this, trying to read it and fiercely concentrate on it. And I know the look of concentration on my mother's face. She had no idea. A candid photograph was taken and sent to her son, which would be encouragement to the church. Is that one of the purposes of God's word? That the word would encourage? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So I've been sharing this story. The saints have been encouraged, and we were encouraged. Now, we have the picture of Mom reading this Gospel of John in the hospital. 3-4 months pass. We go home to visit my parents. As we're on the way home to visit my parents, my sisters call, and they say, be careful. things are messed up right now at home. I said, what's going on? He said, Mom and Dad are not talking. I said, really? Why? What's going on? And they said, well, they're really mad about something. Now, you and I would think like, oh no, what is it? Is it a mistress? What's going on? Nothing of the sort. There was a disagreement on whether my dad should retire that week or in 2 weeks. Am I making fun of them? No. I'm making fun of our own flesh. How petty we can be, right? Let's be thankful for our marriages and not be petty. And so there was disagreement over this. And basically, it got bad to the point where my parents aren't talking. You know, my dad would say, tell your mother this. My mom would say, tell your dad it's time for dinner. You know, these things. They weren't saying these things to each other. So I remember at one point during this visit, my dad said, come downstairs. I go downstairs and the table where he does all his papers and keeps track of all his bills. And he goes, sit down. So I sit down. I'm like, oh, man, I'm in trouble. I did something. Dad goes, I'm sure you've seen. Your mother and I aren't talking right now. And so I've decided it's time that I'm afraid we're going to have to ask you to pray. We were sharing this story and one of the saints said, it's come down to this. I get the Christian in here to pray. I said, Dad, I would love to pray. And as the Spirit led, I didn't pray on the spot. Normally I would. I didn't pray on the spot as the Spirit led. We went upstairs. My mom had said, tell your dad it's time for dinner. So my dad comes upstairs. We go upstairs to eat dinner. And at the end of the dinner, they started talking and then a little bit of a debate broke out between them. And my mom got up to leave the table. She's a very sweet lady, but she got up to leave the table. And I said, wait, Mom, wait, Dad has asked me to pray. And she sits back down and she goes, you better pray. Better pray. So I began to pray, and this saying says, you guys have been praying. As I prayed, the Holy Spirit had a presence in that room that was so unusual. You could feel the electricity hanging in the air. As I'm praying with my head down, I felt this powerful presence that produced in me holy fear. And tears are coming down my face as I'm praying. And some scripture in Farsi I had memorized months, if not years ago, that I had forgotten, all of a sudden was quickened to me. And as I'm praying in Farsi, the prayer goes like this in Farsi, and it shall come to pass that whomsoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it was like King James Farsi. It was a very good Persian word-for-word translation type. I'm not a King James only person. I'm just making a point. And here's the story. I open my eyes. Tears are going down my cheeks. And my mom is weeping at the table. As God's word does not turn back void. I had hidden it in my heart. And the Lord brought it out in the spot and convicted Mom of sin. Now I know my mother. She wants to show a superiority. And she raised me and would tell me Islam is about strength. Be strong as a Muslim. And we say Christianity is about the power and strength of God made perfect in my weakness. There's a contrast, isn't there? And I know my mom is crying. There's some vulnerability there. She may try to wipe her tears and debate with me on Islam here. So I quietly left the room. My wife came and ministered to my mother. Sadly, she didn't get saved that night. As my wife began to minister, my mom got up and went and locked herself in her bedroom. She was convicted of the Holy Spirit, convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment, convicted of the word that God brought out of my mouth that night so beautifully. Thank you for your prayers. Now that word would not turn back void. She hasn't believed yet, but we're praying it would not be judgment. There's more to the story, brothers and sisters. As God says, it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. About a month passes. We go back to visit my parents. Again, we try to make detours as we travel on the road between ministry opportunities. I stop at my parents and I put my foot in my mouth. We never do that as ministers or as evangelists, do we? We never put our foot in our mouth. I put my foot in my mouth. And it was something petty. It was something petty. My brother-in-law, Taj, I love him to death, but he's at enmity with the gospel. I had started to preach to another Persian Muslim who had come to visit my parents. And Taj had come and poured water on the conversation and put out the fire, the good fire. And had said, I don't believe that, I don't believe that, you're wrong, this, that. And really it was out of place for him. I wasn't talking to him, I was talking to someone else. And that had upset me. That he himself would not enter the kingdom of God. And now he was preventing others from entering. This upset the Lord too. Now it upset me. The difference is the Lord being upset is righteous. But the anger of man cannot produce the righteousness of God. I have to be careful. Now, I was upset, but I was just gritting my teeth and bearing it with grace toward my brother-in-law. A conversation started with my parents, and my mom and dad said, on this visit, they said, your brother-in-law is upset with you. And I said, oh, really? And I said, what is he upset about? And they said, he says that you booby-trapped the bathroom. Really? How? And my dad takes me into the bathroom. He says, you have that little pocket knife and you had washed it. And then you had put it in the corner of the bathroom on the ground. And I said, yeah, I put it in the corner where nobody walks. Nobody even uses that bathroom except my wife and I. And it's in the corner near the tub. And Dad said, well, he says you booby-trapped the ground with a knife for us to step on. Dad, I didn't booby-trap the ground. Well, that's what your brother thinks, your brother-in-law. And I said, well, let me tell you, I'm upset with him. And then my flesh came out, right? The pride came out. And my mom and dad all of a sudden went like this. Right? We have to be careful about our witness. Instantly, their interest was piqued. What has bothered our Christian son who tries to not be bothered by anything? And this is where we can get in the way of God's word. And all of a sudden, I saw that they were taking greater interest in me being upset than in anything else, which is the whole thing we try to avoid. The point is Christ. The point is the gospel. At this point, my parents said, what are you upset about? I said, never mind it, because I'm thinking they're not going to understand that I'm upset and that my brother-in-law is getting in the way of me preaching the gospel. They might even say, good for him. So I said, never mind it. And they wouldn't let it go. So I said, well, here's what it is. He himself won't enter and he's preventing others from entering. It's not right. And as I'm standing there in the kitchen thinking, how did I mess up? How did I let my temper get in the way of the work of God? All these wonderful things God is doing through his word, and I let my flesh get in the way of it because I got mad at my brother-in-law. As I'm just within my thoughts, as sometimes we're within ourselves, right? I realize my mom and dad are having a gospel-sensitive conversation with me. I mean, it's an open door. And I snap out of it. I think to myself, put yourself away, Ali. This is a time for the glory of God. And yeah, you messed up, but hey, God can take greater glory sometimes when we make our mistakes. And he shows his power strong. So I humbled myself. I said, yeah, you know what? Never mind me. Let's talk about what you're talking about, Mom. Mom, listen, go get your Quran. Oh, she got excited. Now, she didn't know that we had learned from other Christians, an organization called the Crescent Project, that in the Quran, the enemy has made 89 admissions and professions about Jesus that are biblical. We can go to each of these professions and concessions and admissions of Christ in the Quran, show them to the Muslim and say, do you believe this is true? And if they say yes, we can say, great, I want to show you something. Then we can open unto them the word of God, which doesn't turn back void. Here's what happened. My mom went and got her Quran. I said, Mom, and my dad and her are sitting at the dining table and I'm sitting down, right? And I have it in my mind, I want to ask her to go to the Gospel of John. But first the Quran. I said, Mom, turn to chapter 3 of the Quran, Surah 3, chapter 3, Surah 3, verse 45 and read. She begins to read. She's got her Persian Quran there. And she's reading. It says something to this effect. Oh, Mary, we send you glad tidings, good news. We send you a word from him, and his name is Jesus Christ. Isa Masih is written in the Persian and in the Arabic. This is the Quran admitting, O Mary, we send you a word from God, and the name of this word from God is Jesus Christ. This is the Quran admitting that Jesus is the Word of God. This is a huge doctrinal error for the Muslims and truth for us to hang on to and bring them to the Bible with. I said, Mom, do you believe this is true? Here it is, your Quran telling you Jesus is God's Word. Do you believe it's true? And brothers and sisters, I watch my mom wrestle there with this truth that Jesus is God's Word. She wrestled with it. She looked at her Quran. I said, Mom, take your time. It's your Quran. She looked at it. Finally, she goes, yes, it's true. As to say, I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But she knows doctrinally she must admit it's true. The Muslims are constantly saying, the Quran is the infallible Word of God. If they say it's untrue, they have a severe problem. In the Middle East, they'll be killed. So she goes, yes, it's true. I said, now, Mom, go get that little booklet that you were reading. She goes, the Gospel of John? Injil of Johanna? I said, yeah. She goes, I've read it 3 times. I said, Mom, go get it. So from the time in the hospital, looking into that book, to 3-4 months later, she had read the Gospel of John 3 times. If what she's saying is true. She comes back with the Gospel of John. I said, Mom, first chapter, first verse of the book you're holding. She opens it up and starts reading in the Farsi. And of course, we know the English. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Only she's just read in the Quran that Jesus is the Word of God. She's been faced with this as I brought it to her doctrinally. She has admitted it. So as she reads it in the Farsi, she goes like this. Okay, I'll start reading. In the beginning was the Word. And she froze. And I shut my mouth. Why? Because we have to let God do His work. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. My mom froze on, in the beginning was the Word. And I said, at some point when the silence broke, I said, Mom, this is coming 600 years before your Quran. And your Quran is coming later and admitting that He is the Word. So how could He be a mere man when He is in the beginning as the Word? See the doctrinal conundrum? They say He's only a prophet. An important prophet, they love Him, but they deny Him the sonship and the lordship and the godship that He has. And then I realized, I wanted to ask a question that I had shut my mouth about, which was that first word in the Gospel of John that she read. When she read the word in the beginning in the Farsi, I didn't recognize that word. In Farsi, you would say, Dar Aval. But she read, Dar Azal. Not Aval, Azal. A Z instead of a V. I'd never heard that word before. I said, Mom, and my dad is still sitting there next to her. I said, Mom, what is that word you read? The first word that and they both said, Azal. I said, what does that mean? I've never heard it before. My mom and dad together said, it means in the beginning of beginnings. That's a good translation. Isn't it? I didn't know there was such a word in the Farsi. Why? Growing up in my Persian household, I'd never heard that word. Nobody would say, hey, I bought that for you at the beginning of beginnings. Well, here it was in the Word of God. The Persian translators had put it there. And my mom had stumbled at that stumbling stone and rock of offense. In the beginning of beginnings was the Word. I said, Mom, if that's what that says, that's an excellent translation. And here is the climax of the story. She goes, well, yeah, this is a good translation. I like this translation. You know why I like this translation? And she turns to the inside cover and she goes, here's why. It's like the Persian version. It was printed in this street in my hometown in Tehran, Iran. Look at the address. This is my hometown in Tehran, Iran. That's why it's a good translation. She's trying to give the glory of God to the Persian translators. I look inside the cover. There it is. Some address in Tehran, Iran. Brothers and sisters, that little Gospel of John was printed to look like a Quran. Miniature Qurans Muslims will carry around with them as a religious totem, if you will. A religious relic. It is made so my grandma can walk through the airport and the Revolutionary Guard can look at that book and say, go on. It's just a Quran. And if he wants to open and go to the inside cover, he sees a printing press address inside Iran. I'm sure there's nothing there. There's no way they're printing Gospels of John somewhere in Tehran. They'll arrest you if they find you with a Bible. You open up a printing press? Forget about it. The brethren had put that there as a decoy. And my mother's looking at it saying, this is the good translation because it's printed in Tehran. And I'm silently praying, Lord, shall I tell her where that small book came from? And in the promptings of the Spirit, the Lord permitted me, go on and tell her. And as she's parading her Persian pride, this is Gospel of John, Persian version, Tehran, Iran, my hometown, you see the address? I said, Mom, you want to know where that book came from? She said, I know where it came from, I just showed you. I said, Mom, years ago, you went to the park here in Maryland. Two ladies came dressed as Muslims. They passed out these books with Jesus film DVDs in little plastic baggies. You took two, you put it on my dresser drawer. I took this book, I gave it to Grandma. She flew the book with her to Iran, put it in her cabinet. You went into her cabinet, and God has brought this book back into your life and in the United States, back into Maryland. And God has done it by your own hand. And as I'm telling her this wonderful chronicle of this little Gospel of John, she's going like this from, I know where the book came from, to, oh. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God sent two humble sisters to go to the park, just as Muslims. And God sent that little Gospel of John booklet for a purpose for that Iranian community gathering under a pagan celebration and in the prison of Islam. And we know the purpose of that book is to say, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I said to my mom, I said, Mom, God sent that book for you. And when you and I both tried to get rid of it, God brought it back to you by your own hand. And she was left there at the table, speechless, as God is fulfilling Isaiah 55 in our day. What is the practical takeaway for us? It's not just to pray, as you've been praying and these things have been happening, but to go out there and litter all the earth with the Word of God, for it will not turn back void. And why do I say litter? Because we're to cast that seed onto the ground. As Jesus, the sower, the Son of Man, as the Word of God, the seed in the two parables in the Gospels. Let us be faithful, as God is always faithful to do His part. And when we do ours, boy, is He glorified. I believe my mom still owns that gospel book to this day. And the latest report we have from her is that she has been having biblical dreams and visions that match the scripture. Perhaps at another time. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you're mighty to save, that you open up the eyes of the blind that they may see. And Lord, we were once blind. We had terrible blindness. And we were enemies of God. And we had sealed ourselves off from the hope of Christ, the hope of Israel. But Father, you have broken down the wall of separation through Jesus Christ, the one man, and have made the two one, breaking down the middle wall of separation. We now not only have access through which we are saved by faith in that word, Jesus Christ, the seed, but now also we have access through him to make requests, to pass out the word, to be partakers and fellow laborers in this divine work with you. As your scripture tells us in Corinthians, we are God's fellow laborers. We are God's field. We are God's building. So we're workers in this harvest. And we are the crop too. What a glorious thing. So Father, we pray as we go out that we would pass out those gospel tracts, that we would have the conversations, that we would walk them through Romans Road, through the Gospels. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and the Word of God will not turn back void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. Salvation, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.